chapter 20, the book of EBQ. The primary sin committed by the Israelites while they were in Egypt was idol worship, according to verse 4 to verse 9. And the reason God did not destroy them, God did not pour down his wrath upon them, is because the name of, for the sake of his name, so that his name will not be profaned by the other nations. For the sake of his name, and this is a very important message, for the sake of his name. Shall we turn to the book of Psalm chapter 23? Psalm chapter 23, verse 3. He restored my soul. He guide me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He guide me in the path of righteousness. The path of righteousness is a way leading to heaven, because heaven is a place where there is no sin. Heaven is a place filled with righteousness. So from the time we were baptized until the time we die, it is a path of righteousness. So the time we die, God is going to bring us into the paradise, a place of righteousness. And while we are in this spiritual journey, he guide me. The Lord Jesus Christ guide us, just like a shepherd guiding the sheep, even though we did not see him, but he is guiding us, he is with us every day. Then we will ask a fundamental reason, why did God guide us every day? For the sake of his name. So if we are able to finish the journey successfully, then God will receive glory. So for the sake of the name of his, the glory of his name, he has been guiding us. So this has become a very important principle for the sake of his name. Shall we see Psalm chapter 25, verse 11? 25, verse 11. This is the psalm written by David. For the sake of your name, O Lord, forgive my iniquity, though it is great. Why I ask you to forsake my, to forgive my iniquity? For the sake of your name, for the glory of your name, please do so. Especially when Moses went to the top of the mountain to intercede for the Israelites, because God was intended to destroy them all. And then Moses make a request. If you kill all of them, can your name be glorified among the foreign nations? So actually Moses tried to plead for the forgiveness of the Israelites with one important reason, for the name of God. And that name of God is Jesus Christ. So today, if we try to pray for something, and we ask God to fulfill our prayer, then God will ask you a reason why. If you are sick and you pray, God, because I'm very painful, I want to be recovered. It's good, but it's not good enough. Maybe because while you are healthy, you pursue a worldly life. That's the reason God allowed the sickness come to you. But if the secret has been cured again, you will indulge yourself in worldly pursuit again. So why God cure you? That secret will serve as a throne to remind you about God, about God's grace. But if you pray, God, please heal my sickness, so from now on, I can serve you. I can love other people for the sake of you, your name. I can glorify your name by serving you and serving the people. And that reason is more noble than the reason of self-centered reason. Also, no wonder in the New Testament, almost all the essential workers, they work very hard for the sake of God's name. Shall we turn into Acts chapter 5? The book of Acts chapter 5. Verse 41 and verse 42. Acts chapter 5, verse 41 to 42. Okay. The apostle left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Verse 40. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostle in and had them flogged. And they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So when the holy work became prosperous, the work of Satan became even stronger. And they persecuted the apostle. And they brought apostle to the Sanhedrin. And then beat up the apostle. And ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus. Let us think about if we were the apostle. How do you feel? Oh, I preached the gospel. Jesus Christ did not protect me. And I was flogged for several times, right? How do you feel? And how did the apostle feel? Verse 41 says, apostle left the Sanhedrin rejoicing. They were very happy. Why? Because their suffering is very meaningful. Why? Because they have been counted worthy for the suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus Christ. So from in the bottom of your heart, you think I do everything for the sake of God's name. And everything becomes very meaningful. If we do everything for the sake of our own self, eventually we are going to find out everything becomes meaningless, become vanity, because one day we are all will be gone. So for the sake of God's name is very, very important. And also in the Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. Acts chapter 9, verse 16. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Verse 15. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, the man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentile and their king and before the people of Israel. So this is what God wants Paul to do, to carry the name of Jesus before the Gentiles and their kings. And Paul is going to suffer for the name of Jesus Christ. So all the life of Paul, he suffered a lot. for the sake of the name of Jesus Christ. He tried to spread the name of Jesus Christ. He tried to glorify the name of Jesus Christ. So you see, in the Bible, there are two older men give different conclusion about life. The first older man is Solomon, when he was very old, all right? Solomon said, vanity, everything is vanity, right? Oh, the second older man is Paul, when he was in advancing age. And he said, I have finished my race. I have fought my good fight. I kept the truth. And from now on, there's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. How come? Both person live their life and different and give a different conclusion. Because Solomon lived for his own name, tried to glorify his own name, and tried to satisfy himself. And Paul tried to glorify the name of God, tried to satisfy the heart of Jesus Christ. Oh, so their conclusion of life is different. So today, the most noble reason to motivate you to make a decision is for the sake of God's name. For the sake of God's name, whatever sacrifice you have experienced, that sacrifice will be remembered by God, and that sacrifice will be rewarded. So God do everything for the purpose of His name. If we do everything for the purpose of His name, then we are doing everything in accordance to the way God do His own business. And we will be closer and closer to the Heavenly Father. So this is the most noble reason to live our life, for the sake of His name. So in the book of Psalm 19 or Psalm 8, chapter 8, talk about all the heaven is what? Conveying the glory of God. That was the reason God created the universe, try to show His glory. And today, we are part of God's creation. Can we glorify the name of God? Can our decision made glorify the name of God? It's critical important. If we can glorify the name of God, we have fulfilled the purpose of God's creation for us. If we fail to glorify the name of God, we defeat the purpose of God's creation for us. Okay, let's see one or two verses. Chapter 8, Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How majestic is your name in all the earth. Verse 2. You have set your glory above the heaven. Verse 2. From the lips of the children and infant, you have ordained praise because of your enemy to silence the foe and the avenger. And also verse 19, chapter 19, Psalm chapter 19. Verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky proclaim the work of His hand. Verse 2. Day by day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Verse 3. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. 4. The voice goes out into the earth, and their words to the end of the world. Verse 3 says there is no voice. And verse 4 says voice goes out into all the earth. Then it was a silent voice through God's creation. So His glory has been manifested in His creation. Ezekiel chapter 20. God withheld His wrath for the sake of His name. So that means sometimes we have to withhold our anger for the sake of God's name, not only for your own health, not only to maintain a good human relationship. Can you glorify the name of God by getting angry? Can you? Anybody, you can glorify the name of God by getting angry. Reason? Nobody, right? You always smile while you are taking the picture, right? Can you imagine if everybody get angry, you take a picture, oh, and hang it on your living room, what the picture looks like? That picture looks like a Satan, right? Right? Oh, so a person easy to get angry, oh, cannot glorify the name of God. Oh, even the book of Proverbs say we should not make friends with a person who easily get angry. Oh, so this person cannot glorify the name of God. Oh, oh. Well, while we are trying to do the holy work or evangelical work, if we bring a lot of truth seeker, you always get angry, and what? A lot of truth seeker is going to be gone because the temple, you are easy to get angry. So for the sake of God's name, we should be moderate, we should be gentle. That's one of the reasons. Then let's come back to Ezekiel chapter 20. Among all the sins committed, there was one thing we have to mention a little bit more. The book of Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 12 to 13. Okay. Also, I give them my Sabbaths as a sign between us. So Sabbaths serve as a sign between God and His chosen people. If they were not the chosen people, there will be no Sabbaths. So Sabbaths is a day of rest, is a day of blessing. It's a day being consecrated by God Himself to belong to Himself. So the first 6 days, God gives us life. And the first 6 days belong to ourselves. The seventh day belongs to God. So Sabbath serves as a sign between us. So they would know that I am the Lord, make them holy. So this is the purpose of Sabbath. To remind them, God has made them holy. Verse 13, yet the people of Israel rebel against me in the desert. They did not follow my decree, but rejoice my law, although the men who obey them will live by them, and they utterly desecrated my Sabbath. So I said, I will pour out my wrath. So the reason God wants to pour out her wrath, because the Israelites did not keep the Sabbath. Oh, now we see verse 19. Repeatedly, God mentioned His displeasure of the Israelites. Verse 19, I am the Lord your God, follow my decree, and be careful to keep my law. Verse 20, keep my Sabbath holy, that they may be signs between us. So if a person don't keep the Sabbath holy, that means the person between God, there is no sign. There is no covenant. There is no intimate relationship. Can you imagine if you have a good friend, you never spend time together, if that friendship is going to last long? After you get married, if you have no time to spend with your spouse, can you still have a very intimate relationship? Right? If you have no time for your family, can you have a close relationship with your family? It's almost impossible. If we have no time reserved for God, can we maintain a good relationship with God? By no means. So Sabbath is the time we reserve for God. So when the Israelites break the Sabbath, God was not pleased because they reserve no time for God to build up their intimate relationship. So today, we have to think about how can we keep the Sabbath to please God. Sabbath is for men. Men are not for Sabbath. So Sabbath is not to bind us, to make us seem to be restricted. Sabbath is a blessing. Let us enjoy the rest, physically, spiritually, as well as mentally. There are several ways to keep Sabbath as a holy. Start from the Friday evening. I think the best way is do no worldly entertainment. So sometimes the Sabbath morning, the members come to the church, you feel, how come the members look so sleepy? Some of you look very sleepy too. Why? Because Friday evening, they try to relax themselves, they watch the late night movie, or they watch the video, or they watch the television until midnight. They did not have good sleep. So they come to the church with sleepy feeling. They cannot pay attention to the scene of praising God. They cannot pay attention to the message in the pulpit. So start from sunset of Friday. We should quit the television. We even should quit the internet unless it's related to the holy work. Really, you try. You try. Sabbath, keep it such holy. And how about the Sabbath day? Sabbath day, we get up early in the morning, prepare ourselves ready, we come to the church earlier to pray, to get closer to God. And how about Sabbath afternoon? Afternoon after the service, I mean, most of churches, I think after service is around 2:30 to 3. Before the sunset, we still have to keep this as holy day. I know some of the youth in the church, right after the Sabbath afternoon service, and they go to see the movie, go to the cinema. I don't think that's the right way to do. But I also know that some of the church, after the Sabbath service, they have so-called outreach, community outreach. They organize a small group and went to the senior citizens' apartment to preach the gospel there and to distribute the flyer in the market. And that's a wonderful job. So before the sunset of Sabbath, we have to keep this a holy day to worship God or do anything in loving God and loving people. In the Sabbath day, we should not pursue worldly entertainment or material gain until the sunset of Sabbath. So this is the proper way to honor God as a holy God, by keeping the Sabbath. No matter how busy you are from Sunday, the first day of the week, to Friday, the sixth day of the week, if we were able to keep the Sabbath as a holy day, your faith will never decline. You look into anyone's face, if the faith declined because they did not keep Sabbath. Maybe they come to the Sabbath during the service time. How come their faith still declines? Because they only keep the Sabbath physically. They did not keep the Sabbath spiritually. Physically, they were in the church. But their heart still pondering, still planning after the service. I'm going to make appointment with whom? How can I negotiate the price? All right? Which movie I'm going to watch? How can I have fun after the Sabbath service? So physically, they are in the temple of God, but mentally, they are still in the world. If we keep the Sabbath in this way, Sabbath has no help to our spiritual advancement. So if we can separate ourselves from the world in these 24 hours, totally separate ourselves, and immerse ourselves in the spiritual pursuit, then Sabbath is a time for to refresh our spirit. Is to recharge ourselves spiritually. So no matter how busy we are, we still maintain a good relationship with God. So chapter 20, in the journey of the wilderness, one of the reasons they offend God is it was because they did not keep the Sabbath. Of course, they offend God, the other reason is because they worship the idol. And the third reason is they offend God because they complain a lot. According to Psalm chapter 106, they complain a lot. When we complain, means God is no good. God's planning is no good. And the complaint will alienate our relationship with God. And chapter 20, verse 27, onwards, talk about after they enter into the promised land, top. Okay, and then now 28. Shall we read verse 28? And when I brought them into the land, I had sworn to give them, and they saw any high hill or any leafy trees. There they offered their sacrifice, made offering that provoked me to anger, presented their fragrant incense and pour out their drink offering. And I said to them, what is this high place you go to? This is called Bamer to these days. So they went to the high hill to offer sacrifice to the idol. So no wonder God was offended. God did not like that. Okay. So verse 33. As surely as I live, declares the sovereign Lord, I will rule over you with mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with outpoured wrath. Verse 34. I will bring you from the nations and gather you from the countries where you have been scattered with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm and with outpoured wrath. Okay, so God is going to what? To deal with them according to what they have been practiced. So that they know that I am the Lord. The Almighty God is in control. And verse 44. You will know that I am the Lord when I deal with you from my name's sake, and not according to your evil way and your corrupted practice. O house of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. So for the sake of God's name, God is not going to, was not going to deal with them according to their corruption, morally as well as spiritually. Chapter 20, verse 45 to the end. This is a prophecy against the South Kingdom. Talk about the fire is burning. Verse 47. Say to the South Forest, here's the words of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am about to set fire to you, and it will consume all the trees, both green and dry. The blazing flame will not be quenched, and every face from the south to the north will be scorched by it. Well, what does that mean? That means the invasion of the foreign forces is going to punish them, to destroy them, like a fire consume them. Okay? Now we're going to chapter 21. Chapter 21 talk about Babylon, God's sword of judgment. Babylon served as an instrument of God to punish the Israelites. In the book of Habakkuk, you know there's a minor prophet called Habakkuk. Have one important question he want to ask God. Yes, the Israelites, the chosen people, was wicked. But compared with the Israelites, Babylon was even more wicked than the Israelites. How can a God of justice use a more wicked people to punish the less wicked people? This was against the nature of God's justice. Oh, okay. If you feel that the police are more corrupted than you, then when the police knock your door, try to arrest you, how do you feel? You suppose I'm arresting you, how come you arrest me, right? That's something like that. Oh, Babylon more wicked, commit more sin. How come God used Babylon to punish the dead sinful Israelite people? So in the book of Habakkuk, he had this kind of question, and he asked God. And God gave him an answer. Because Israel sinned, so God is going to deal with Israel by using the Babylon to punish them. But after Israel's sin has been punished, in return, God is going to deal with Babylon's sin separately. So each one will be held accountable. Each country will be held accountable according to their deeds. Okay, so from chapter 21, we know that God can use the unrighteous person or unrighteous country become his instrument. Even though Babylon at that time was a mighty country, like a superpower, but God still can control them and use them as a means to punish the Israelites. Okay. So chapter 21, chapter 21, verse 2, verse 3, somebody asked, this is a very difficult question, I answer, right? Verse 3. And said to her, this is what the Lord says, I am against you. I will draw my sword from its scabbard and cut off from you both the righteous and the wicked, because I'm going to cut off the righteous and the wicked, my sword will be unsheathed against everyone from south to north. And we just read in verse, in chapter 18. Chapter 18 says, the righteous shall live and the wicked shall die. And how come in chapter 21 say, God is going to kill the righteous and wicked altogether? It seems chapter 21 is contradicted chapter 18. So how can we interpret that? When we say righteous, there are two ways of righteousness. The one is the righteousness of God. The other is the righteousness of man, God. And in book of Isaiah talk about all the righteousness is filthy before God. All the righteousness of men is dirty before God compared with the absolute righteousness of God. So men compare men, there's a good man. But if men compare with God, there's no one good. So that was the reason in that corrupted generation, even some people was considered the righteous. But in the eyes of God, they are righteous. Their righteousness still filthy. So that's the reason God said he's going to cut them all off. Now, that was a proper interpretation. And chapter 21, from verse 8 onwards, it's a prediction. There is a night, and night is coming. Chapter 21, verse 8. Therefore, groan, son of man, groan before them with broken heart and bitter grief. Verse 7. And when they ask you, why are you groaning? You shall say, because the news that is coming, every heart will melt, and every hand will dim, and every spirit will become faint, and every knee will become as weak as water. It's coming, and it will surely take place, declares the sovereign Lord. It's coming. The impending judgment is coming. The knife has been sharpened. The sharpened knife is coming. Coming for where? Coming to the Jerusalem. Coming to kill them. Coming to punish them. So coming. So when the prophet received the revelation from God, the prophet was terrified. But for the Israelite, they did not know God's fire is coming. How pitiful they are. Okay, verse 14. Verse 14. So then, son of man, prophesy and strike your head together. Let the sword strike thrice, even three times. It was a sword of slaughter. Not only one time, second time, three times, to make sure the one is really suffer, being cut by the sword. The sword for great slaughter chose in on them for every side. They have no way to escape. Okay, let's see verse 15. So that here the heart may be melted and the fallen be many. I have stationed the sword for slaughter. So this day was coming to Jerusalem. And the day of punishment nowadays is coming to this world. Because our world is more corrupted than the generation of Ezekiel. So God's punishment is coming. It's coming according to the book of Revelation. It's very close. We are facing that kind of punishment. Because the sin in the world is too much. And verse 18 to verse 23, God revealed the will of God to Ezekiel that the king of Babylon is to come. Is to come to destroy Jerusalem as well as the other city. So one is to Rabba, the other one is to Jerusalem. Both of them will be destroyed by God's punishment. So, and 24 to 27. The king of the Israelite is going to suffer. Verse 25. Oh, profaned and wicked prince of Israel, whose day has come and whose time of punishment had reached its climax. Verse 26. This is what the sovereign will say. Take off the turban, remove the crown. Why? Because when God's wrath comes, all the glory will vanish. When God's punishment is coming, they all will suffer. They will suffer dearly. Okay. And 21, chapter 21, verse 28 to 32. You, son of man, prophesy and say, this is what sovereign so say about the Ammonite. Even the Ammonite is going to be slaughtered too, because they have sinned against God. Verse 32, this is the conclusion of this chapter. You will be filled for the fire, and your blood will be shed in your land, and you will remember no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken. You know that the United States have been waging a war in Iraq, right? But right now, a lot of people attend the war. Why? Because more than 1,000 people die. It's possible at least 2,000. So people live in this peaceful land, live in a comfortable life, they did not want to see other people shed the blood. So a lot of people against the war. Only 2,000 compared with the people being slaughtered by God in the time of Egypt. Jerusalem, one third was under tribulation and died. Another third was killed by the sword. So many people died. So if you look into the situation in Iraq, the final judgment and the final punishment is hard to imagine. A lot of people is going to die, even in the United States. A lot of people is going to die because sin is so serious. God is so offended. And so many people only emphasize on material enjoyment without knowing that every day we sin against God, without knowing we have to repent and turn back to God for life. So we have to learn a lesson. In chapter 21, chapter 22. We have 5 more minutes. Chapter 22 is to recount Jerusalem's sin. Once again, God tried to remind them why he suffered so much. The fundamental reason is because of your sin. Okay? And you can see that from verse 6 onwards, chapter 22, verse 6 onwards. Let's see what kind of sin they have committed. See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you use his power to shed blood. And 7. And in you they have treated father and mother with contempt. They did not fulfill the filial duty, did not obey their parents. In you they have oppressed the alien. Just like use an illegal alien. Without the legal status and pay them even lower than the minimum wage. Take advantage of them because they don't have a legal status. Such kind of things, it really offend God. So they oppress the alien and mistreat the fatherless and the widow. They did not sympathize the orphan or the widow. And you have despised my holy things and discredited my Sabbaths. They did not keep the Sabbaths, verse 9. And you are standard of men, now bent on shedding blood. And in you are those who ate at the mountain shrine. They worship the idol and ate the food worshiping the idol. Been offered to the idol. Okay? And verse 10, you are those who dishonor your father's bed. Okay, well, what do that mean? That means they have relationship with their stepmother. And verse 11, they have a sexual relationship with a neighbor's wife. And verse 12, they shed the blood, they receive the bribe, and they practice usury, charge a high interest. They are greedy. So all these kind of things are social injustice, moral decline, cause last God's wrath, and God tried to punish them. So verse 15, chapter 22, verse 15. So I will despise you among the nations and scatter you through the countries, and I will put an end to your uncleanness. Verse 16. When you have been defiled in the eyes of the nation, you will know that I am the Lord. So eventually they are going to go into exile under captivity so that they can know God is the Lord when they were suffering. So verse 17 to 22 talk about God try to refine them, just like putting all the bronze, silver, and iron, everything together in the melting pot. So Jerusalem will become a melting pot. God is going to put the fire into it to melt them away. God is going to pour down his wrath, his fire, to consume them, to burn them. So whatever we learn in this few chapters, it reminds us, history will repeat again. If we live a holy life, God will bless us. If we try to follow the worldly way to live our life, identical ourselves with the world, we are going to face the consequence of God's judgment. That's great insight.